It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 470. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free at www.instanthousecall.com. Click on the link at miketechshow.com on the left-hand side and use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that is one word, Mike Tech Show, on Skype. I have two great voicemails that I'm going to get to in a moment. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Don't forget the wiki. That's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, links to the audio, the show notes. It's a great resource for the Mike Tech Show. I am glad to be back. Well, sort of. I was away on a mini vacation last weekend, and we actually left on Thursday. That's why there was no Mike Tech Show on Thursday night, because I was celebrating my 34th wedding anniversary. Had a great time. I was able to recharge the batteries, and I so desperately needed that. So glad to get back to business and work and refreshed. And I have a jam-packed show that I want to get to, some stories from the trenches and some things that I did a little business while I was away. I couldn't help it. Clients needed some help, and I'll talk about that. Then I'm going to get to the voicemails and then a stack of email. Lots of the tips for tonight involve email and tips for fixing things and some recommendations for some software that I asked for managing photos on a Mac. I'll have a voicemail on that. The first thing I want to mention is there is a problem with my RSS feed at MikeNation.net, the main website where the podcast feed is hosted. I'm getting errors when I log into WordPress. I get in successfully. I can post everything. But as I validate my RSS feed, there's errors, and I'm not sure how to fix them yet. So I'm looking for a WordPress guru who knows to go through an RSS feed of a podcast can help me out. I have an idea of the plugin that might have caused this, but it's a plugin that I desperately need because it's the plugin that cleans the infections to the website. My anti-malware plugin, I think when I did the last upgrade, and I may have to just reach out to the author and see if there's a way to fix this. That's when this all started. In the interim, you can always use the following RSS feed: miknation.net/miketechshow.xml. So that RSS feed is completely fixed and working. If you need an RSS feed, I was actually trying to get away from that feed. That's my original feed for the podcast. Right now, it's saving me because it's the only feed that's working. So right now, if you want to adjust everything, I'm going to maintain that feed and keep it going for a long time. That's the one I got to manually edit. But the minute I'm done editing, I always run that through the feed validator site, and it always comes up clean, or I make sure that it comes up clean, and I work on it till it is clean. Now, for the WordPress feed, I'm not sure how to go about even fixing some of the errors that I'm seeing, because the RSS feeds automatically generate it. And if it's being automatically generated wrong through WordPress, well, I'm in trouble. So that's why I need some help on that. Hopefully I'll get that worked out. Let's move on to some of the Outlook issues and things that I've been now running into last week and this week. While I was away Thursday night and Friday night, I had to do a little work before I went to bed. Thursday night, I had to fix remote access for a client who was going to be traveling in Europe and could no longer use his RDP connection back to his desktop. Something was broke. I was trying everything. You know how I fixed it? I just had to reboot the computer. Once I rebooted the system, everything started working. And I spent an hour working on all sorts of things, making sure the listener port for RDP was working, making sure the permissions were right. Couple lessons here. Before you start working on something, you know, do a clean reboot. And then also, when you're working on a problem, check for malware. That's the two things that sometimes I look past and start looking for something else to repair, when in fact, all you need to do is maybe restart the system. And then if you're running into all kinds of issues, some kind of an anomaly or anything, hey, check for spyware, malware first. Then start diagnosing the problem. So two lessons there. This one, it just needed a reboot. Now, on Friday night and Tuesday morning and also this afternoon, three different clients with the same problem. They maxed out their PST in Outlook. That means they are running the Office, the Outlook 97 to 2002 version of a PST, even though they have Outlook 2007 or Outlook 2010. You can only have a 2 gig limit for that PST. So once you hit that 2 gig limit, that's it. Shut down. Outlook no longer works. And you could even get a corrupt PST. On two of the situations, I had to run scan PST, fix the errors, then launch Outlook, create a new archive PST, and start offloading the mail. Once I've done that, you then have to compact the folders. Remember, if you delete lots of email from a PST file, it'll still stay the same size. Remember, at its core, it's a database. So you have to shrink it by using a utility. Just deleting the mail won't shrink the file. So you have to run the compact, and that's just at the highest level of the folder. Right-click, then click Data Properties. Once you click that, there's an Advanced tab. Click on the Advanced tab and compact it. That's the temporary fix. The real fix is to get out of that limit of a 2 gig limit for the PST. And you could do that by creating a new data file that's not 97 to 2002 PST. When you create a new data file, you get two options for a PST. You get to be backwardly compatible with the 97 to 2002 or just straight PST, Outlook PST. Pick that one, because that does not have a limit. Now, just because it doesn't have a limit doesn't mean you should test that. Keep your PSTs to a reasonable size. I like to keep them to be under 10 gig. Then they're at least manageable. So don't let your PST files get out of control, because when you have a problem, guess what? It takes hours and hours to run a repair or a fix. And I learned that on Tuesday. So three separate clients all running into the same problem. The one I fixed while I was away on Friday night, another one Tuesday morning, and guess what? Today, literally an hour before I went on the show tonight, I used my instant house call with a client, remoted in, and was able to fix that problem. Now, another tip. When I moved my Outlook settings to my new system that I'm running, and by the way, if you didn't listen to Tech Vets last week, Carrie Holzman's system that he's been using on his YouTube videos, he very graciously donated to me for my main system for my podcast. And it is a tremendous computer. And if you listen to last week's show, Tech Vets, there's links to the video that he uses that he's used in all of his videos to how to build a computer, how to change the parts, how to add a water cooler, on and on and on, just great stuff. This handcrafted Carrie Holzman system is now my main computer. And setting it up, I needed to migrate my Outlook over, and I created all the accounts and everything, but I ran into something that I know I fixed the first time I put Outlook on my system a few years ago. The ability to be able to preview a PDF within Outlook, you have to go through a step where you got to edit the registry and there's a patch to run in order for you to be able to view PDFs. The first link for tonight in the show notes is going to be Outlook 2010, how you can fix the PDF preview. Something else I ran into with a client that I want to share. It's a very cool add-in, and it's to PowerPoint. So while we're talking about Office here, PowerPoint, how to convert your PowerPoint presentation to Flash. That's a really cool free add-in for PowerPoint. And then take a look at the other ones. There's some other products, and it's from iSpringSolutions.com. I have a client that I'm migrated from one laptop to a newer laptop, and he had all this custom software, or this software that he's purchased that I've never heard of, that is very cool software. And I'm seeing this, and I was like, wow, I'm gonna share some of this with everybody. I got more for future shows, but some really interesting software that I've never seen before. And it's always great, and you know I'll always share that with you. I'm going to mention this. My big client that I'm working on an ERP migration, I've sort of had to become quickly an Oracle DBA as part of this project. And it's amazing. The main company, Tech Support, that was helping me through resetting a password in Oracle, and they were giving me the commands. They even remoted in, and it was not working. I did a little Googling and found the correct way to do this. When you're resetting a password in SQL Plus, when you're changing a password, now this is kind of some advanced stuff, but I'm going to mention this. Make sure you put the password in quotations. They forgot. Also, when you're working at the SQL Plus prompt and you are executing commands, make sure you end the command line in a semicolon. If you don't do that, guess what? You get an error, and then the command doesn't work. So by adding a semicolon, I was able to fix this. So I've been forced to learn these different commands and different techniques as I have been working on this migration. And it's been a great learning process for me, and just adding more things to my tool set and to my repertoire of being able to work on different products, and especially databases, which has always been my weakest link, which I've always had trouble. And Winston Wolf knows I've had to seek him out just on things that I've been trying to do in SQL in the past. And it's just I haven't been exposed enough. And now getting this exposure, I'm taking advantage of it and becoming a sponge to where I'm just sucking it in and learning as much as I can. And anytime I can come up with some tips or tricks and some tweaks, I'm going to share them with you and send it along your way. So if you ever run into this stuff or know anybody that does, this might ring a bell. And you say, boy, I heard that on the Mike Tech Show, you know, add a semicolon to the end of the line. Oh, it works. Hey, we fixed it. One last thing, something I had to work on last week before I went away. New client, duplicate IP addresses. Let me tell you, that's a disgrace for an IT person to roll out static IP addresses and then have the range of their DHCP not exclude the static IP addresses, and one of them happens to be a server. And you start to have major problems when the IP address of your main server is now given out to a workstation, or worse than that, it was given out to a printer. I could spend hours talking about what that causes in an environment. And I had to unravel that last Tuesday morning at my client. And once I discovered it was a duplicate IP address, because it just smelled like that when I was just running this, and it certainly was. And then had to get in, change the DHCP scope and fix everything, reboot things so they got new IP addresses, and then the problems all went away. So let's go to some voicemails. Here is the first one, which is in response to my request for software for managing massive amounts of photos on a Mac.
Hi, Mike. This is Teresa. I'm calling from Massachusetts. In regard to show 469, where you were asking about the best things to use for photographers, the best way to organize photographs, I would have to say go with Lightroom from Adobe. It's it is actually a database for photographs. That's what it's for. It's got some rudimentary tools in it that can be used for post-production on photos, but basically it's a big database. And I would also further suggest that they create libraries by dates, maybe, either a year or half a year, depending upon how many pictures are in a year she's taking. And this way, when she opens the library, she doesn't have to open everything at once. And she could go even further and create a database that would be something like a spreadsheet that could show her what photos might be in which library from which year. And that way she can consult it, open that library if she needs to go back for a photo, and then she doesn't have to have it open all the time. The more photos that you have to bring into a library, the longer it takes to open, the slower everything gets. If she can keep things down to a minimum of the most recent 6 months or a year, her library will work a lot faster, and then she can just open other libraries and close them again as she needs them. Anyway, love the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Teresa, thank you so much for that. I am absolutely looking into that for my client. Great recommendation. I'm excited about having a possible solution for her. Now, Teresa follows up that voicemail with this email. The Mac-based photo organizer Aperture has not been updated in a very long time. I am an Aperture user, and I have been very unhappy. It has been so neglected. I can't recommend it for any new installation. It's always possible this is the end of life for this product. Also, my client she's referring to, she needs to check the raw file conversion charts to ensure she can open her photos in whichever database she chooses. For example, Adobe's list is here. I'm going to have a link to not only Lightroom from Adobe, but also this link on this list that she has. She may also use a top-of-the-line Nikon or Canon for her best shots, but some of the more recent point-and-shoot camera formats are not available to be converted. This can be frustrating. Best to know if it's available before committing to a project. Happy shooting. Teresa, thank you so much for that advice. I can't wait to sit down with my client and have a discussion with her as I plow through the millions of photos that span across multiple systems and drives as I collect and put them together. Thank you so much. I have a second voicemail. Give a listen.
Hello, Mike. This is Kevin from Akron, Ohio, otherwise known as Remiant in the chat room. I want to say a big thank you to Fred Gaines, who is PC Freddy, our resident pilot in the chat room, who also does computer work on the side. Thanks, Freddy. Really appreciate letting everybody know that I had a stroke, I'm okay, and I'm back to work. I want to talk to you guys today about Thumbtack. Mike asked for some reviews about some websites that people might be interested in or do business with. And this is one that I do business with. It's called Thumbtack.com. And if you go there, you can see under the How It Works link that it's real simple. Say like you need a photographer. Well, you have to answer a few simple questions. Your email is private. They go about your day, and Thumbtack will email you when it has the appropriate contractors for you to look at. You look at those contractors, and you go from their rates, and you see, okay, say like you want the lowest because you're short on money, or you want the highest because you know if you can pay for the highest, you get the best in most cases. You get quotes within 24 hours. In my case, I got quotes within 2 days, so it's 50-50 about the truth about that there. So the final step then is that you compare quotes as to what you need, and then you go from there and you contact the person and say, hey, I like your price, or I like your company's description, which you have to put in there. You put your photo in there, and you put, basically it's a business card with advantages to getting leads to your business. Now, how much does a lead cost? Lead costs about $3.33. That's it. And if you don't get a lead, or if you put in your money towards a lead, and that person says, "Oh, I don't want to hire you," you could tell Thumbtack through its dashboard that person did not hire you, and they will reimburse your fee towards the next fee. So in my case, I get about 1 week. I got 4 to 8 leads. I got about 4 of them. So again, it's a 50-50 proposition. But you don't lose any money because you can get your money reimbursed towards the next lead for about 2 more leads, and then you have to pay again. So it's not really a bad deal. Thumbtack.com does the job, it gets you hired, and you can make money from it. So that's my review of Thumbtack.com. Mike, keep up the good work. You're a professional in what you do. And this is Kevin saying goodbye from Akron, Ohio.
Kevin, I was so glad to hear from you. And I'm glad you're doing better. Our thoughts and prayers were with you immediately. Hopefully, things will continue to improve. Thank you for taking the time to put that together for me on Thumbtack. I'm still curious how those leads are panning out to a dollar value. Are you happy with those leads? And are you making enough money that you would say, you know what? Hey, those $3 or whatever it is for each lead, you know what? It's worth it because I can turn that into cash. I can turn that into real money. And hopefully, you know, the leads are working out for you. And it's good to know that at least it's legitimate. You can work through this. And it's certainly nice to hear of sites and services that can help us grow our business and ways to expand our client base and get more work. It's always great to uncover these sites. And anybody else that has any sites like that, that can help you get leads, help you get business, do a review. You know, do what Kevin did. Record a voicemail, email it to me, call, you know, my Skype line, leave a voicemail, and I will get it on the show. Or sit and take the time and just write an email out. With that, let's get to some email. And this is from Robert, and he says, thanks for the tip. Hey, Mike. Thanks for the tip about the Western Digital Passport 1 terabyte hard drive. Mine works great. Thanks. Robert, I am glad I use them all the time. I always have 2 or 3 brand new in a box waiting to go. When I am visiting a client, I often leave one behind and sell it. And you get to make a couple dollars when you're selling the drive. So it's always an opportunity. And I will try never to leave a client where I have not left an approved backup system in place. Whether it's the Windows 7 default backup or it's Shadow Protect or it's something, you know, make sure your clients, anybody you're working on, make sure they have a backup. And the 1 terabyte Passport drive is one of the best. This is from Shane about Hitman Pro. Hey, Mike, I'm a big fan of your podcast. I'm wondering what you thought of the anti-malware program Hitman Pro. I got a small amount of requests from neighbors, older people, to clean out their computers. I was wondering what you if you think it would be a good program to add to my standard programs I use to clean up computers. I'm not sure about that, Shane, because I used to use Hitman Pro when it first came out, and it was wonderful. Then it was snagged up, purchased, and monetized, and you got to pay money to use it. So I think you only get one use for the free version, and I'm not sure because I downloaded it once on a computer where it was never installed, and it wanted money just to run it the first time. When that happened, it had to be over a year ago, I stopped using it. I recommend many free programs that you've heard me talk about on the show. If you know there's an infection, go to CombiFix. Run Malwarebytes. Run Super Anti-Spyware. Run the Junkware Removal Tool, the Adware Removal Tool, the Toolbar Cleaner. These are all programs that you can have a list of. Bang, 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 bang. Run them. Clean up the system. Then run CCleaner. Clean the registry. Clean all the temp files out. Now you got your system clean. The browser's clean. Everything's running faster. And you may not even need Hitman Pro. This is from John. And this is about StorageCraft. Hi, Mike. Are you an affiliate? No. If a client of mine purchases this, it'd be great to give you a little commission. Let me know. They have reseller programs, not an affiliate. I'm not even a reseller. I actually buy my Shadow Protects from another reseller. I'm not an affiliate. Also, still regarding Shadow Protect, I was doing some stare and compare with Shadow Protect Server and Semantic Backup Exec and don't really see a difference. And what they offer, and was very surprised to see as for what I could tell, that the Semantic product was less expensive. Is that right? No, it's not right. Actually, Semantic can actually cost you more for the server. It might be a hard sell to get my client to purchase Shadow Protect over Semantic Backup Exec if this is the case. No, I use Backup Exec at work now for plus 400 users. So I know the product fairly well, and it works fine for what we need. So I have no issues going that route with the client. But since you are such an ardent supporter of Shadow Protect, I thought I'd ask this question. And this is Joe from Atlanta. I lived the nightmare of Backup Exec in a corporate environment. It is painfully slow when you compare it to Shadow Protect. I had an IT director literally a week ago purchase Shadow Protect when he was getting ready to pull the trigger for Backup Exec, and he's used it before in environments. I should read you the thank you emails. When he did a bake-off of the backups of Shadow Protect versus Backup Exec, and Shadow Protect just ate its lunch and spit it out for Backup Exec. But it's not just the backup times, it's the reliability. And I'm going to ask you this question, John. Have you ever had to do a restore? Because that's another component that's being missed here. You got to consider the restore time and what it takes to get you up and running using Backup Exec versus Shadow Protect. Shadow Protect just will flat out beat it from a reliability and a time that it takes to recover. There's no question, and I've seen it, and I've witnessed both. I have nothing to gain by recommending Shadow Protect, except that I use it. This is from Robert, eliminating the Windows 7 reserved partition. Hi, Mike. If you want to eliminate having Windows 7 create that system recovery partition, you can do this by using the command line utility diskpart. If you use diskpart to create the partition and then tell Windows 7 to install on the partition you created with diskpart, the reserved partition will not be created. You can get to it by booting the Windows 7 media and selecting repair your computer, and then the command line. I have included the link below. Thank you very much. And this is Robert. Robert, I noticed that I know when you go through the automatic process of deleting the partition within the Windows 7 install utility that it creates that 100 meg partition. I know what you're talking about. Is it wise to not have it? I don't know. I guess there's no problem in having it, but I know it automatically takes 100 meg and reserves it for the system, and you really don't see it when you're in your native Windows after you boot and run it. Anybody that's interested in that, I will include Robert's link in the show notes. This is from actually another Robert. Thanks for the advice on starting my own business. I am going to mail off the application for the home business license this week. That was about whether he should have a business license. Right now, I am going to start small. System cleanups, malware removal, system upgrades. I don't think I am going to stock any spare parts. I might buy one of those 1 terabyte passport drives to do a system backup for clients whose system I work on. Better to be on the safe side with a customer's data. Absolutely. If a customer wants me to build them a computer, I will sit down with them and help them decide what is best for them and their budget, and have them custom order the parts, and I just charge them for the labor to build it. I share a passion like Carrie's and wish I would have started years ago. I have a question. I have an older computer that is fast enough to run Windows 7. The only problem is the onboard video has no Windows 7 support. It has a PCI SATA controller. It has a promise Fast Track 150 2K2. To install XP on it, I would be able to download the driver and use Nynite to slipstream the text mode driver onto the installation CD. I would like to put Ubuntu on this system and dual boot Ubuntu and Windows XP. I put the live CD for Ubuntu in the DVD drive and boot from it, but when I go to the screen where it asks me where to install Ubuntu, there are no hard drives present. If I can find the driver, is there a way to put it onto the live boot CD? Thanks for all your hard work. When you boot, there is a command line option that you can go to add the drive, to add the driver for your hard drive controller. It sounds like you don't have a standard or too old of a controller. If you got a PCI slot, is there a way you could just buy another SATA controller and put it in there? And I'm wondering, if it's this old, is it worth the effort that you're going to go to? If you're running Ubuntu and it can't see that hard drive and you're going to have a problem with the onboard video, that means it's a really old video card. It may not be worth the effort unless you just want to go through it. Couple things. You can load drivers at the command line before you then boot into and try to install Ubuntu. That's one. For Windows 7 for the video driver, can you just add a different video card? Just video cards are very cheap. I've bought a dual video card for like $30 from Amazon and put it in a client's computer to run dual monitors. So there's got to be a way, even on eBay maybe, for your older bus to be able to get a video card, or maybe just dig apart some of the old systems that you're collecting as you replace a client's new computer. That's a great way to get some old parts. Boy, I wish you were close by. I could probably help you out with all the parts that you need. I have so many systems stacked up here that I got to get rid of. It's unbelievable, because I'm offering a service of being able to cleanly wipe drives. And by doing that for some clients, oh my, have I collected computers. Robert, keep me posted on how you're making out with your business and how you made out with the computer system. This is from Tim. I know you like Shadow Protect, and I use it myself on servers, but here is a great product I have been using for a while, and it works. It is a lot cheaper for the server edition than Shadow Protect. It can also do a bare metal restore. I am going to try it on the next server install that I have. It's only $199 per server, and this is Macrium Reflect Server version 5. Thank you, Tim, for that recommendation. This is a request from the user group meeting where I am the SIG leader for the Windows Tips and Tricks SIG. This is from a PAX member, and they ask, Mike, I just got a new computer, hooray, and I want to donate my old one, but I want to wipe out the drives. Do you know a DoD-level program that will wipe the drives, preferably shareware or free? Thanks. And I immediately recommended D-Ban. Now, D-Ban is the Duke and Nuke program. It's free. It will take a while, but it will write like ones and zeros to every single track on the drive. I recommend D-Ban highly. You can quickly download the image and burn it onto a bootable CD or DVD. Boot the system. Just take the auto prompt to do the wipes. That's what I'm doing on hard drives. Takes a long time, so be prepared to keep it off to the side and just let it run. And then once it's done, that's it. You got the hard drive totally wiped. This is from Joe. VMware converter instructions. Hi, Mike. Here is a step-by-step for the VMware conversion to a VM and running it on another computer with VMware Player. Thanks for your show. You are the best. Joe, I am going to link his Word document on step-by-step instructions on using VMware Converter. That is great. Joe, thank you very much for that. I know a lot of listeners that are interested in that. Jorge, great question. I hear you always mention Dell Optiplex being your favorite computer model. What is the exact model you normally use? I use HP most of the times, but I'm always willing to try other brands. Here is a link to the one I use. Jorge, I like the 7010 and the 9010. The 7000 model and 9000 model, I always like the fully customizable, and that's what I order from my distributor. And I will custom it based on the budget of my client. Stay within the 7000 or the 9000 series. And it's really just a matter of how much money you want to spend, how much processor you want to put in it. It comes down to expansion. If you know you don't need to add any hard drives, then use the small footprint. If you know that you're going to be adding a couple more drives, maybe even doing some RAID, or you need some expansion, you know, expandability, then I recommend the full desktop version of that model. But I really like the small footprint one, and that's the one that I have in 90% of my clients. If you use Amazon to make any purchases or know anyone that uses Amazon, use my link. It really helps support the show, and that's Amazon.MikeNation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back and helps support the show. It makes a difference. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate everybody's continued use of my Amazon link and all my affiliate links, such as Fab's Auto Backup for Tech. I don't know if I go a day without using it. Very rarely. I use that every day. Malwarebytes Pro. I make that now a permanent requirement for all of my clients because it's the best anti-malware software out there. And then, of course, my sponsor, the best remote support software that you can ever use for a service, and that's Instant House Call. I have some music for tonight's show. I was able to attend the Carnival of Madness tour event in Philadelphia last night. Got to see five bands. The headliner was Shinedown. Great metal group out of Jacksonville, Florida. I've seen them before. They played this, and I might have shared this in the past. You know I love cover songs, and I love acoustic versions of a cover song. This is a great cover of Lynyrd Skynyrd's Simple Man. And this is the acoustic version from Shinedown. Give a listen.
One, two, three. Well, Mama told me when I was young, said, sit beside me, my only son, and listen closely to what I say. And if you do this, it'll help you some sunny day. Aye, it will. Oh, take your time, don't live too fast. Troubles will come and they will pass. You'll find a warm arm and you'll find love. And don't forget that there is a someone up above. And be a simple your lust from the rich man's gold. All that you need now is in your soul. And you can do this, oh baby, if you try. All that I want from you, my son, is to be simple kind of man. Be something you love and understand. Baby, be a simple kind of man. Won't you do this for me, son? Follow your heart and nothing else. And you can do this, oh baby, if you try. All that I want from you, my son, is to be satisfied and be a simple if you can.
That was Shinedown doing Simple Man, and I will have a link to where you can purchase that song from Amazon.com. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And now we're back on regular schedule on Thursday nights. I will see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.